Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
In the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5, verses 1 through 4, the Bible, Peter writes, he said, "The elders which are among you I exhort." And he said, "I am also an elder." He said, "I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ and of the glory that is to be revealed." He challenges those elders. He said, "Feed the flock which is among you." And as a matter of fact, when you look at these four verses, he gives six perimeters of that. He said, not by constraint, not with filthy lucre or for filthy lucre. He said, you do it willingly. He said that you do it of a ready mind. And so when you look at all of this, recognizing that an eldership has a responsibility, and Peter addresses that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. One of the points that I think you and I need to understand, and that is Peter said, the elders which are among you. You and I need to recognize, and this happens so many times, that elders want to take the oversight of other places. Well, that's not God's plan or God's will. The Bible says, the elders which are among you. The Bible teaches us, for an example, in the book of Acts chapter number 6, if you remember, when they selected seven men to care for the Grecian widows, the Bible says they were being neglected in the daily ministration, and the apostle said this to them, "Look out among you seven men of good report." When you and I recognize that an eldership or shepherds or bishops or pastors or presbyters or overseers, Peter emphasizes the fact, he said, that these are individuals which are among you. So that it is essential that these men who serve in the capacity of an elder, and we find that Timothy uses the word bishop, if any man wanted or desired the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. There are three things I want to emphasize in Peter's statement in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 1 through 4. Number one is this. Peter is emphasizing not only his authority, but the authority of the eldership. Notice what he says. He said, the elders which are among you, and then he says, who am also an elder. Peter said, I am also an elder. When you go down to verse number 4, he then refers to the fact that there is a chief elder, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, we want to emphasize that an eldership does not have any authority outside of the realm that is designated in the New Testament. I do not have any authority as an elder. Brother Charlie, Brother Eddie has no authority in that eldership outside of the realm of the New Testament. There are two areas that must be observed. Number one, and that is when we look at the authority of the eldership, everything must be based upon the Holy Word of God. All Scriptures be it given by inspiration of God, that it is profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Acuff, none of the elders of this congregation or any other congregation has the authority to take the Word of God and say to you, it doesn't mean that. The plan of salvation is in the Bible. The items of the worship are in the Bible. The aspects of Christian living are dictated through the Word of God. The eldership cannot take the Word of God and say to those who are under our oversight, you can exempt yourself from that, that it does not apply to us, that it does not apply to you. Larry Acuff, Charlie Prince, Eddie Cox has no right to make any change. You see, when you look at the authority of the eldership, it is to encourage the obedience to the will of God. The authority of the eldership goes through those things that are written in God's Word. But secondly, the elders have authority over the aspects of a local congregation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them, for they watch for your souls as those that must give an account. When you and I look at the Bible, the eldership has no authority in the realm of the New Testament. We cannot change anything. We cannot change the plan of salvation. We cannot change the worship. We cannot change God's organization. But the elders do have the authority to paint the building. If the elders decide we're going to paint the building purple, I don't like purple. I would not want a purple church building. But if Charlie and Eddie say, we're going to paint it purple, it's going to be purple. You see, ladies and gentlemen, elders have the responsibility, not only the responsibility, but the authority to guide the direction of a congregation. They have the authority, they have the oversight to guide the direction of the finances of a congregation, of the times of the services. Now, they may designate some of that authority to other individuals in the congregation. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, we have deacons in our congregation. The eldership of this congregation has given the responsibility of the treasurer to Brother Jerry Thomas. And therefore, we guide Jerry and say, here's what is to be done. But he carries out the literal responsibilities of taking care of the money or the treasury of this congregation. We have emphasized from time to time, even though the elders have the authority to direct the affairs of the congregation, and we emphasize this again and again and again and again, there is nothing secretive that goes on in this congregation that any member does not have a right to know, with one exception. And that is the personal difficulties, problems that any individual or family may have in this congregation. But if you said to Brother Jerry Thomas, I want to know how much money we have, Brother Jerry has been directed to give you that information. Now, we try to make it available to you on a consistent basis. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, this is not some kind of a secret organization. We do not have a special fund set aside that we're going to set this aside and you're not going to know about. Now, there are decisions many times that an eldership may make, and every decision is not announced before the congregation. That would be cumbersome and would not always be in the best way to do so. And so, but that information is always available to you. The authority of the eldership. The elders have the authority to oversee the affairs of. Limited by the New Testament, the members of that congregation. If a member of the congregation is not faithful in his or her service to God, not only do the elders have the authority, they have the responsibility to help that individual get their life back on track according to the will of God. If a member of the body of Jesus Christ is not living like they ought to be living, then the elders have not only the responsibility, but they have the authority to go to that individual and say, brother, you're not living like the Bible teaches you to live, therefore you need to quit and repent. Now, the Bible says, but speaking the truth in love, the Bible teaches a right attitude. The Bible teaches, because now, listen to this. Not only do the elders have an authority, but I think you need to look at the attitude of the eldership. And that attitude is simply, number one, when you and I look at it, not by constraint. In other words, it's not a forced responsibility. Well, who was it? Harry Truman said, the buck stops here. Or, you know, if the kitchen's too hot, get out of the kitchen or something to that effect. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the attitude of an eldership is very important. When you and I look at the attitude, and that is that it's not by constraint, that an eldership is not to be forced in that service. Notice that he says this, not for filthy lucre. In other words, an elder is not to serve simply because he might get paid to do so. Peter said, not for filthy lucre. In other words, he's saying to the eldership, you don't accept this responsibility in order that you may get paid to do so. Notice what else he says. He points out, not lording it over the flock. I'm an elder. You've got to do what I say do. Hey, you say, that's kind of funny. But I'm going to tell you something. I know men who have acted that way. There are those men that are referred to as diotrephes, and they love to have the preeminence, John said. He said, now, these men who are a diotrephes, they would not receive us, not lording it over the flock. It isn't a matter, ladies and gentlemen, of saying, okay, you're going to do what we say do, whether you like it or not. It is not a matter of lording it over the flock. Let me give you an example. When just Brother Charlie and I were elders of the congregation, the subject came up as to the time of the Wednesday evening service. Y'all remember, that hadn't been long. Now, we could have said, man, you come 7:30, if you don't like it, then don't come. No. But we surveyed the congregation. We wanted to get the attitude of the congregation in order to know what would be the wise thing to do in this congregation. We came to the conclusion, as a result of that 7 o'clock would be a better time. So the Bible teaches us as elders. We're not lords over the flock. It is not a matter. Now, notice something else that Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Peter says, but being in samples to the flock. It is by the life that you have confidence in an eldership, whether it be at Lithia Springs or somewhere else, that you look at the lives of those individuals, and their lives are of such nature that they are an example to you. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, we are examples. If I don't show up, you watch this. When a congregation has an I don't care when or where it is, when a congregation has an activity, guess who people began to look for? The elders. I'm not against that. But the Bible says that we are examples to the flock. Turn your Bibles, and I'm not going to prolong or I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 34. In Ezekiel chapter 34, in the first 12 verses of Ezekiel 34, God is very upset with the shepherds of Israel. Now, what do we find out? He says, when the chief shepherd, what does that mean? That means that there are underling shepherds. Who are they? The elders. That we are shepherds of the flock of God. Now, I don't have time today, but if I had time, I'd go back with you to John chapter number 10, John chapter 15, John chapter number 16. Do you remember when Jesus confronted Peter after the resurrection, and he said, Peter, feed my sheep. Notice he didn't say, they're your sheep. You are the sheep of God. And so Jesus said, you feed my sheep. And so when you and I look at the shepherd, you and I are familiar with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. But in Ezekiel chapter number 34, God is upset and displeased with the shepherds of Israel. Now, there's four things in these 12 verses. I don't have time to expound on them, but you go study them. Number one, he said, should not the shepherds be feeding the sheep? Sheep need to be fed. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves, all the flock over which the Holy Ghost made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Do we have a gospel meeting just because it's been done? No. We have a gospel meeting in order to help feed the flock. Do we have a Bible school simply because it's the thing to do? No. We have a Bible school to feed the flock. All right? Secondly, you go down to verse number 8. When he talks about, he says in verse number 8, he says, "A shepherd, you shepherds." Now, he's criticizing the shepherds of Israel. He said, "You're not feeding the flock." Number two, he said, "You are not protecting them against the prey. And they have become meat." What does that say? Shepherds have the responsibility to protect this congregation from false teaching and false doctrine and not allow some wolf to come into this congregation and disrupt the teaching of the will of God. If it's done, the eldership has a responsibility to put a stop to it. Number three, elders, and he points this out, all right? He points this out also in 1 Peter chapter 5. The shepherd is accountable. He is accountable to God. Peter said, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, what's he going to do? He's going to reward you." Based on what? And so you and I must recognize that a shepherd has a responsibility, but he is accountable. Hebrews 13:17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves unto them, for they watch for your souls as those that must give an account." We will give an account to God of every soul under our oversight. The fourth thing in Ezekiel 34, he said, Why doesn't the shepherd go out in search of the sheep? Now, I said in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 4, there are three things. You can call them the AAA of eldership. Number one, authority. Number two, the attitude. Number three, an award. When the chief shepherd shall appear, what shall you receive? A crown of glory that fadeth not away.